Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Now, in this section of Galatians chapter 5, we'll be studying the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. So let's read the verses, and then we'll begin looking at what they're saying. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, after this, we'll be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, but today we're going to look at the works of the flesh, and there are several things that you want to notice here. He starts out with the first three verses dealing with the difference there between the lust of the flesh and then the work of the Spirit in your life, and then he actually goes through and lists the various things that come out of the flesh, and then the consequences of what happens to you if you do those things. All right, now, first of all, then, considering the works of the flesh, in verse 16, first of all, the works of the flesh are conceived by lust. They are conceived by lust. Notice, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, turn to James chapter 1 and look at verses 14 and 15, because you'll understand then where this sin that's operating in your flesh comes from. James chapter 1, look at verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We know that because the wages of sin is death. Now you see how that thing, there's a series here. One thing leads to another. Okay, it says, first of all, we're drawn away of our lust and enticed. That's the beginning of sin. And then when that lust conceives, it brings forth the sin, and then when the sin is finished, it brings forth death. And that's the way that the sin operates in your flesh. It starts out with lust. And so in verse 16 of our text, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice he didn't say you shall not do away with the lust of the flesh. You know, I tell you what, in the worst way, I wish that I had a body that didn't have lust in it anymore. I really do. And I know you do too. And we're not going to have a body like that until God gives us a glorified body. And he won't give us that glorified body until this body is dead or changed. In other words, if the rapture were to happen right now and you and I are still alive, God would change this body. And we would have a glorified body that was fashioned just like his glorious body, and then we wouldn't have any more lust. And if we didn't have any more lust, we wouldn't have any more sin. But right now, we still have sinful flesh. And so when you walk in the Spirit, notice what he says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It didn't say you wouldn't lust, it's just you won't fulfill it. In other words, lust is going to be there. I mean, for some of you, well, we'll look at the actual sins that are listed here, and you'll find something in your flesh that will fit one of those things in the list, but nonetheless, the thing that gets you in trouble is the thing that starts out with lust in the flesh, and the only defense that you have is to walk in the Spirit. And it won't make the lust go away, but it'll just keep you from fulfilling it. And what, you know, once it fulfills itself, that's when it breaks out into sin. Briefly, a fellow one time said there's actually five stages to sin. There is the presentation, that is, you see something that wakes up the lust that's in your flesh, and then the illumination, you get a little light on the subject. Then the debate, whether or not you should do it. Then the decision that you will do it, and then the action. And that's when the lust is actually now manifesting itself in fulfilling the desire. All right, at what stage do you think that you've sinned? At the presentation, illumination, debate, decision, or action? And the fellow said, you've sinned at the point at which you debate, because now you are leaving open the possibility that you will give in to the lust. That's when you get in trouble. That's when the sin starts. That's when the sin has conceived. Because of the lust in your flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you'll get the illumination from God that you shouldn't be doing the thing that's presented to you, and you'll never get to the stage of debate, and you'll cut the thing off. So, works of the flesh, first of all, are conceived by lust, and secondly, we find from verse 17, they are contrary to the Spirit. They are contrary to the Spirit. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." That's the real dilemma in our Christian life. You and I both have, deep down inside of us, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, because of the work of His Word, because of the presence of Jesus Christ in us, we have a desire to do right. But Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, "I know that in me," that is, in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." So you see the dilemma? You and I have enough light on it from the Word of God to know the things that we do that are wrong or we're not supposed to do, and we even make up our minds we're not going to do those things. And sure enough, something comes out wrong. And that's because there's sin working in this flesh, sin that dwelleth in me, Paul says. And that thing is contrary to the Spirit. As he says here in verse 17, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." So one is always trying to get dominance over the other. And you know something? You didn't know that you had this war on in your flesh until you got saved. Before you got saved, there really wasn't much more at work in you than a conscience, and it didn't take you long to defile that conscience and to sear that conscience with a hot iron so that it no longer screamed at you and fussed with you when you got ready to do something you weren't supposed to do. But that was about as far as that war went. Your sinful flesh conquered your conscience pretty fast. But you get saved, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes inside of you. If you submit yourself even a little bit to some preaching against sin and a little bit to the reading of the Word of God, you find out quickly you're in a fight, a battle, and that battle will not die down until you're dead. And so you've got this fight, and when you walk in the Spirit, your flesh will absolutely put up a fuss. And when you walk in the flesh, your spirit will absolutely put up a fuss. Now, Paul's going to show us here in verse 18, you can't walk in the Spirit if you are trying to dictate righteousness in your life by the law. You can't do it, because then you're trying to avoid the things that the law tells you you're supposed to avoid. And when you do that, you're living in a negative type Christianity. The thou shalt nots. The thou shalt not this and the thou shalt not that. So you end up not doing these things, and you know what? You end up not serving Christ, and you end up not working in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and then you end up fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Primarily there is pride. You're so proud of yourself that you haven't done all those not things you're not supposed to do. It's crazy. It's crazy. We get the idea that, okay, we make a list of rules and I'll keep the rules. All right, if you do that, you're not walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Isn't that strange? Paul, you see, in this Galatians, has just had to deal with legalism from the start to the very finish, and he's dealt with it in every category that can possibly come up. Here's one of the categories, and that is that you actually end up magnifying lust by the law. Okay, so the works of the flesh, first of all, are conceived by lust. Secondary, they are contrary to the Spirit. And thirdly, in verse 18, they are magnified by the law. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Well, under the law, then, is the magnification of sinful flesh. You see, sinful flesh is not controlled by the law. We have laws on the books today preventing all the crimes that are committed. And you know something? We live in a totally lawless society. Saying no to a lot of the people that are in the society today means do it. They say, don't speed, so that means drive faster than the speed limit, right? They say, don't do drugs, and so that means do drugs, right? If they say, don't have sexual relations before marriage, and so that means have sexual relations before marriage, right? You see how this generation is? Say no means do it. Well, that shouldn't be so strange to you. That shouldn't be so strange to this generation. Paul knew that nearly 2,000 years ago. Look at Romans chapter 7 and look at verses 7 and 8. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, watch it. I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So if lust is what causes, by conception, causes sin, then the law actually has some contributing factor there, although the law is not sin, and the law is holy and righteous and good and just and spiritual. It wakes up in the flesh a lust, a covetousness. Romans chapter 7, verse 8 says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that's ardent desire, the sexual lust. For without the law, sin was dead. Isn't that a strange thing? So the law doesn't actually give you control over the flesh. The law magnifies the flesh and the works of the flesh. Now, in verse 19, he begins going through the list. Now, remember this then, the works of the flesh are, first of all, conceived by lust. So the way to keep from fulfilling them is to walk in the Spirit. They are contrary to the Spirit, and they are magnified by the law. What are they? Well, they fall into three categories. And the three categories they fall in are found in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 shows you the three categories of the sins that are in verses 19, 20, and 21 of our text. 1 John chapter 2 says in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So you have three categories there. You have the lust of the flesh, one category, the lust of the eyes, second category, and the pride of life, third category. And all of these sins that we're listing here fall pretty neatly into one of those three categories. Now, I'll grant you, you may put one in a category different than I've put it in another category. That's okay. That's okay. We're just trying to get these things categorized a little bit so that you can remember them as we speak them to you. It's kind of hard sometimes while you're driving down the road to keep all this stuff straight. So we'll try to help you out here. Three categories. All right, first category, flesh. Some of these sins that are in the list of verses 19, 20, and 21 are sins of the flesh. Look at them. There are adultery. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication. The next one is uncleanness. The next one is lasciviousness. And then jump down there in verse 21, and you'll find that another lust or another work of the flesh is drunkenness. And the last one then being revelings. So what did we come up with there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sins in this list that are sins primarily of the flesh. All right, now the first one there is adultery. You might say, well, this is also a sin of the eyes. Okay, I'll grant you that. That's why I said there's no clear-cut line that you can draw here. We're simply just trying to put these in a category to bring some help to you as you listen to these. All right, adultery. Adultery and fornication, we'll take them together. Many times people have said fornication is sex before marriage and adultery is sex after marriage, but that's not really the Bible. That's pretty much just the teaching of men. Really and truly, fornication is the act, and adultery can be either the act or the thought. In other words, it doesn't have to be an act at all, and fornication can certainly take place whether you're married or not married. All right, now for this and on adultery, look at it, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 is one of the best areas to see this so that you get it clearly defined. A lot of people don't think they've ever committed this sin before, but watch what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. All right, so you got a problem there, you see. If you've lusted after her, then you've committed adultery with her already in your heart, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So adultery doesn't have to be an act, married or unmarried. It can simply be the lust that comes from the imagination and the view, okay? And then on this thing concerning fornication, look in Matthew chapter 19 real quickly and notice that fornication is the act. It can take place before or after marriage. Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with marriage. And notice what he says in verse 9. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Well, there is fornication that is committed after the marriage. You see that? And shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. So that is the act. Okay? And those are both sins of the flesh. You could say adultery is certainly a sin of the eye as well, according to Matthew chapter 5. Then we have this thing here. The next word, the next sin is uncleanness. Adultery, fornication, and uncleanness. Uncleanness is just moral impurity. It's wickedness, okay? Uncleanness is filth. Okay? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was real certain in putting together what we have here, this Bible, of showing you that there is certainly a difference between the clean and the unclean. Jews knew that. They had clean animals and unclean animals and things like that. And there is a difference between those things that are clean and those things that are unclean. But you know something? The society that we live in today is a very unclean society. This society is very common for men to cuss, men to use very filthy language, even in the presence of women. There's no chivalry here. Women want equal rights, so they're going to go into the bar room. They're going to listen to the same trash and nasty stories coming out of a man's mouth. They have no business listening to that stuff. All right? Unclean. Look at the movies. Just look at what's going on with the movies. They've got all these ratings now. PG, pretty gross. R, really gross. X, extremely gross. That's probably the way they ought to be listed, because what sells movies is filthy language, violence, and sex. It's a filthy society that we live in. Uncleanness. Oh, that's a work of the flesh. All right, here's another one. Lasciviousness. Now, that's a big word. Lasciviousness is just basically no restraint, no sexual restraint, inordinate affection. What you've got today with this child molesting, what you have today with homosexuality, that's lasciviousness. Listen, sex was given by the Lord to men and women for comfort in their marriage and for reproduction. It was not given for men and for women to go out and fulfill the lust of the flesh. That isn't what it was given for. And for them to go beyond that into bestiality and homosexuality and inordinate affection and child molesting is just absolute insanity, is what it is. It's utterly contrary to all that is called God. And there is so much political pressure brought to bear upon our government that even a president who considers himself to be a Christian and probably is by rebirth and regeneration has got to, under political pressure, or has willingly under political pressure one way or the other, recognize homosexuality as a contractual relationship where survivors of the deceased loved one are able to get death benefits in a tragedy. I'll tell you, man, this is a sick, sick society in which we live. That's lasciviousness. All the strings are off, man. All right, the next one is drunkenness, which was down there in verse 21. It's too much to drink. But you know something? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Lord said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The excess is in the wine, not in the quantity. So the idea there is best just to lay off of the alcoholic beverage altogether, because the drunkenness is in the wine, and be filled with the Spirit. Didn't he say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Drunkenness, it's a work of the flesh. Listen, if you don't put the bottle or the cup or the glass to your mouth, you can't get drunk by it, okay? So it's a work of the flesh. The Holy Spirit's not the one that's pouring that stuff down your throat. And then revelings. Revelings, that's the big bashes, the parties, the dances, like Mardi Gras. Peter talked about this stuff about being in the flesh in 1 Peter chapter 4. You know what I've just realized here? I got to get moving. I'm preaching against these sins while I ought to just be teaching you what they are. But I can't help it. The whole world around me is filled with these things, and it's crept into the church. We got to preach against these sins. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, time past of our life. You know, this stuff that you've done should be in the past, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked, what, in lasciviousness, lust, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, when they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. You may have had some friends that used to do this stuff with you, and now all of a sudden you've quit, and they're making you out like an idiot. Well, be an idiot and a fool for Christ. Amen? All right, those are the lusts of the flesh. Now we got lusts of the eyes. All right, in that category we have idolatry, witchcraft, emulations, and envyings. Four sins that are in this list here. Idolatry? Idolatry, that's just worshiping statues. Anything that you put up that you worship between you and God is an idol. And so in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we find out that covetousness is idolatry. And man, if you've ever seen a covetous generation, that's this generation in the United States of America. We have this wealth, and then all we want to do is find a place to spend it. We got ways to spend it on the internet. We got ways to spend it in your car. We got ways to spend it in the mall. We got ways to spend it in the store. There's always somebody there willing to take your money. And this generation wants to fill up itself with possessions, and those possessions get in the relation in between you and God in your relationship. They're idols. Teen idols. Musicians are idols. Sports figures are idols. This world is filled with idolatry. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is employing sorcery, exercising supernatural powers. I'll tell you who tried that was old Saul, with that familiar spirit there that he inquired of. And he was accused because he wouldn't obey the word of God of witchcraft and idolatry, because he was stubborn, he was rebellious. So when you do things that are contrary to the word of God, you have put yourself up as an authority, you have entered into spiritual matters, and you are practicing witchcraft. People do it all the time. Preachers do it. People in the pews do it. You may be doing it. Don't do it. Another sin is emulations. That's striving by imitation to equal others in accomplishment and quality. Peer pressure is emulations. Peer pressure. Just do what they do. Imitate them. So that's why it's bad to run with the wrong crowd. The other one is envyings. Envyings are painful resentments because somebody else has an advantage and you want that same advantage. It's a desire to possess that same advantage. The Pharisees wanted the following Jesus Christ had, so what did they do? They crucified him. Envyings. Those things go on in churches all over the United States of America. The next list of sins are pride. Sins of pride. They're hatred, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and murders. Well, murders are easy. That just kills somebody. But not only that, 1 John said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So you got hatred, which is one of the sins in the list toward a brother. Then you got a problem. Hatred, according to Proverbs, stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So a strife is a fight or a quarrel or a state of distrust or enmity, often accompanied by bitterness. You're fighting with people because you want to get your way, pride. That leads to hatred, motivated by hatred. That leads to murder in a spiritual sense. Variance is a discord or a disagreement, a dispute or a controversy between two people. And the Lord said, I've come to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother. Why? You're not at variance for having trusted Christ, but they're at variance with you because you trusted Christ and they don't think you've done the right thing. There's a disagreement there. Wrath, a rage expressed vehemently and accompanied by bitterness. And wrath, that thing, that's just getting out of control. Just bursts of anger and things like that. Seditions? Seditions are resistant to lawful authority. Tumults, rebels. Barabbas was a seditionist. That's why he was locked up, for sedition and for murder. Heresies? Heresies are opinions and doctrines that are contrary to the truth. But oddly enough, Paul showed us in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, that we who believe the Bible, we who believe and preach the simplicity of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your faith in that for salvation, we are heretics according to accepted doctrine and opinions of men. Paul was called a heretic. He's not a heretic. He upheld the truth, but he was called a heretic by religious legalists, you see. So heresy is something that's contrary to the truth, although you may be considered a heretic for upholding the truth. Gotta see how that goes. So there's a pretty good list and pretty quick definition of everything that's in the list. It covers everything, you know, sex, eyes, fleshly desires, bitterness, pride, the whole thing. It's just all covered in the list. Now, what did he say? What's the result of all this? See, we see how this thing goes. Works of the flesh are conceived by lust, and you're never going to get rid of that. That lust is contrary to the Spirit. Those works of the flesh are magnified by the law, and there's the list of them. They're bad. They're really wicked, and they're portions of them in every one of us. What's the result of this stuff? Well, the result is, in verse 21, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Will you enter the kingdom of God by what? By the new birth. You must be born again. But once you've entered the kingdom of God by the new birth, you have an inheritance. You're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're predestinated to that inheritance, and you can lose that if you commit those sins that were just there in the list. And why? Because you have given into the flesh here, and you have received your reward here. You're like the prodigal son, see? The prodigal son said to his dad, give me the portion of my goods and the inheritance. He goes and he spends it all up with riotous living. When he gets back, he has no more inheritance. He's still a son. He still gets to come home. He just doesn't have any more inheritance because he spent it all up. And the way to spend up your eternal inheritance is to commit adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And you will spend up your inheritance with Christ, and when you get there, you'll have nothing but your salvation, period. Paul warns against that. That's the best the flesh can do. Don't you see it's better to walk in the Spirit? Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.